Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The impeachment inquiry is moving into a second week of public testimony. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports the House Intelligence Committee is scheduled to hear testimony from 8 witnesses starting tomorrow.
The second week of open hearings in the inquiry will include testimony from the U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, who's considered a key witness into Trump's dealings with Ukraine. Lawmakers are expected to question him about the administration's decision to put a freeze on nearly $400 million in U.S. military aid to Ukraine. Congressional Democrats have accused Trump of using that aid as leverage to press the Ukrainian leader to investigate a political rival. The House will also hear from 2 other key figures in the probe. On Tuesday, former U.S. envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, and top Ukraine expert, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, are scheduled to testify. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Thousands of people attended a candlelight vigil to honor the 2 students from the Los Angeles County High School who were shot to death last week in Santa Clarita. Gracie Ann Muhlenberger and Dominic Blackwell were killed by a fellow student who then took his own life. 3 other teens were wounded. Saugus High School principal Vince Ferry says students, faculty, and the community are coping with their grief.
We will remember the Saugus High School community not for what happened to us, but for how we recovered, how we grieved together, and how we became strong, Saugus strong.
Meanwhile, there has been a separate mass shooting in Central California. Police in Fresno say unidentified suspects went into the backyard of a house where a football party was being held on Sunday. They shot 10 people, killing 4 of them. The other 6 people have been hospitalized. Police have not arrested any suspects. Police in Hong Kong are urging protesters barricaded inside a city university to surrender. Now police are moving in. Some protesters have been arrested. NPR's Julie McCarthy has more.
The culmination of this clash has focused a global spotlight on the increasingly violent and desperate protests stretching 6 months. It has focused, too, on the growing aggressiveness of the Hong Kong police, who overnight warned they would deploy live bullets if the protesters did not cease. Police arrested dozens as they tried to flee. The building unrest has raised doubts about whether elections scheduled for next week will take place. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Hong Kong.
Protests continue in Iran over price hikes for the cost of gas. These have jumped by 50%. There have been clashes between protesters and security forces, and at least 3 people have been reported to be killed. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has called some of the protesters thugs. It's seen as a signal that a possible crackdown by Iranian security forces may be coming. This is NPR. People in the Czech Republic are marking 30 years since their Velvet Revolution. It ended communism in what was then Czechoslovakia. Terry Schultz reports on the latest calls for change in the country, now a member of the European Union and NATO.
3 decades ago, Czech police brutally attacked students protesting communist rule, strengthening the opposition movement that pushed the Communist Party from power. Many Czechs want their current leader to quit his job, too. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, a populist billionaire, was required to transfer ownership of his businesses to trust funds when his party first won a parliamentary majority in 2017, but he's accused of maintaining control. Babiš is also under investigation by the EU. Commemorations Sunday were celebratory, but the night before, an estimated 250,000 people marched through Prague, many of them waving EU flags, to demand Babiš either get rid of the businesses and media he still owns or resign by December 31st. Babiš rejects the allegations. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Louisiana's incumbent Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards, won re-election on Saturday. He defeated Republican businessman Eddie Rasponi, who was supported by President Trump. The Anchorage Daily News is reporting that the city got more than a foot of snow last Saturday and set a record. But on the same day, the newspaper reports, the National Weather Service said that about 3 o'clock in the morning, Anchorage also tied its high temperature record of 45 degrees. As the winds subsided in the city, the temperature fell, and so did the snow. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.